We need the real story from Yuri. Like, cut this out, because I want the real story from Yuri at some point, because the way he tells it is very funny. And Yuri's mom is like the sweetest woman in the world, and like the idea of an angry Italian landlord from New York getting upset at her when she was like a young newlywed makes me really happy.
This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by Jason Hellman and me, Emily Rose. Music by Yuri Beats and art by Katie Rose. I have gotten no sleep.
Yeah, I saw you say that somewhere. You okay?
I mean, I don't know. I got 3 hours of sleep last night, and then after running errands this afternoon, came back home and slept for 2 more hours. So now I'm just pounding bubbly rosé wine and hoping that all's good.
Rad. Is it house wine?
It's a spritza.
All right, house wine, you're on blast. We will be courting a spritza soon if we are not offered a sponsorship opportunity.
I really don't think we will be.
That's fine.
It's not that good.
So 3 hours a night, like, I got a four-year-old and a baby, and I'm sleeping more than 4 hours a night.
Yeah, it's concerning, isn't it?
It's not good.
It ain't good. I'm not happy about it.
Is there anything other than just like the general state of the world that is causing this that you can tell?
I honestly don't know. I think I've just become more sensitive to like sounds, like while I'm sleeping recently. And by recently, I mean like in the past 2 months. So it's just like, if there's an annoying sound that comes up, it'll wake me right up. And as long as it persists, I will stay awake. Or as long as I'm imagining that it persists, it will stay awake.
Oh, I identify with that hard. Like, I can hear a sound, and then it's in my brain. It'll just like put that sound on loop. And there's a point at which I can't tell it, which is the sound still happening, or is this just my brain tricking me?
So occasionally our air conditioner will do a thing where it just like starts clicking, which isn't great. And so, like, that'll happen sometimes in the middle of the night. And then we have a bedside fan where sometimes something will get, like, caught in the blades and start clicking. And so that'll keep me up. I guess really what I'm saying is I have an issue with the sound of clicking.
Yeah, I have that with beeping. Like, any even the most minor beep. I was going to be a white man for a minute and suggest a fix that I have found to this problem, which is sleeping with one headphone in and putting on a TV show that you've seen 10,000 times so that you can fully turn off your brain and just sleep.
See, my move last night after I woke up at 2:30 and realized I wasn't going to be able to get back to sleep, so I went and I took a bath and I grabbed my new iPad and I popped open Batman Year One and I read 2 or 3 issues of that, and then I doom scrolled Twitter, then I doom scrolled Discord, and then I watched the season 2 episode of The Simpsons titled Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
It's a good episode.
It's a really good episode. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to try and go back to sleep. So I go to bed and I grab my AirPods and I put on Sufjan Stevens' live album, Carrie and Lowell Live, thinking this will help me sleep. And about 6 or 7 songs in, right as we get to 4th of July, my left earbud fizzles and then just stops producing sound. And then both of them cut out. And then it gives me that ping sound that it does when they reconnect, but it doesn't keep playing music. And at that point, it was about 6:30 in the morning. Mel stirred and we woke up and we started our day.
That's bad. That's bad all around. I identify with a few different aspects of that, which is I have been trying to be really good about not being on the internet on the weekend and spending more mindful time with my kids and my family. But I was just sitting on Twitter before we started recording and just like I'm deep, you know, all of a sudden I'm like scrolling some like right wing shitheads Twitter account, just getting angry at nothing because like what is there to get angry at? Yeah. So I get that. And then like there's every once in a while I'll like be trying to sleep with a headphone in and like Wi-Fi goes down or like something happens and like I can't have my like pacifier of familiar television to put me to sleep, and then I'm just awake for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So
you see, I think that next time I really need to sleep, I think I'm just going to put on the Beetlejuice soundtrack.
Fuck, I was working on a transition. I had it in my brain. I was there.
So Jason, you Googled Beetlejuice soundtrack. Tell me, what's that about?
I'm so mad at you. I was right there. I was going to do a thing with Mountain Dew and caffeine. Oh, okay. The Beetlejuice. No, I'm just angry. I'm happy, but I'm angry. All right. I Googled Beetlejuice soundtrack this week. Beetlejuice is a movie. It's a Tim Burton movie, and I like it. It's about a mean ghost.
That's a way to describe that movie.
Is it like I don't really know. I tried to like think about how would I describe Beetlejuice, and I think part of me likes it because I have always really liked the book Dune, which features these sandworms, which also are a thing in Beetlejuice that like I think I didn't really even look into like who wrote the screenplay, but somebody ripped off Dune by putting sandworms in Beetlejuice.
So if I were selling. If I were trying to sell somebody on Beetlejuice, I would sell it as, oh, it's that Tim Burton movie with the tall guy wearing the stripes.
Yeah. I just came up with a new way to describe it. I agree with you. It's what if a ghost bullied other ghosts?
Okay.
That's it.
Or how about this? It's the Tim Burton movie with the Danny Elfman soundtrack?
Yeah. Okay. No, not okay, because I'm pretty sure... Is there any Tim Burton movie that doesn't have a Danny Elfman soundtrack?
There must be.
I know Edward Scissorhands is Danny Elfman. I know Pee-wee is Danny Elfman. I know Nightmare Before Christmas is Danny Elfman. I think Batman, the original Batman, now that I'm like thinking of the music in it, is probably Danny Elfman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure... Pretty sure it is.
It's all Danny Elfman. Mars Attacks? Danny Elfman. Frankenweenie? It's Danny Elfman. Batman Returns? You bet your ass it's Danny Elfman.
Sleepy Hollow? Danny Elfman.
The soundtrack to Danny DeVito biting the nose off of a character actor? That's Danny Elfman, baby.
Fucking hell.
I think he did them all.
Wait, did he do Dumbo?
I didn't even know Tim Burton did.
Fuck, he did.
It's Danny Elfman all the way down. All right, so the reason I Googled this is because...
Wait, here we go. Here we go. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, directed by Tim Burton, music by Mike Higham and Matthew Margison.
All right, so fuck Mike Higham and Matthew Hargison. Margison? Hargison? Danny Elfman's cool. He was in Oingo Boingo. He does music that you would instantly recognize, like the Simpsons theme probably is like the...
There's a great Family Guy joke about replacing the composer for like Star Wars or something with Danny Elfman. And so it goes from like being like this lush orchestral score to just like an orchestra playing two notes back and forth really fast.
That's mean. Don't be mean to don't bully Danny Elfman the way Beetlejuice bullies other ghosts.
But it's just so spot on though.
Yeah, I will give every, you know, dozen episodes, I'm sure Family Guy did a funny joke. Yeah, I don't know. The reason I Googled this was really, I was just in the mood to listen to Danny Elfman music, and Beetlejuice is like the one theme that sticks out in my head as one where like, it just like, it's such a fun back and forth between, I don't know, it very much captures like the spirit of Beetlejuice, which is like, it's supposed to be scary, but like it's funny, but it's weird. And it's like kind of
hopeful. Is it supposed to be scary?
It's kind of like, yeah, like Beetlejuice looks gross. Like he's like a decomposing visage. That's not the word I was looking for. He's like a scary-ish looking. He's the scariest. Fuck. Okay, I found the joke. It's the scariest Michael Keaton has ever looked.
See, now I want to fact check that.
Birdman, he looked pretty good. Spider-Man.
He was so good in that.
He was very good in that. I will say maybe Multiplicity, not his best.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's...
Wait, he was in Cars.
Oh, yeah, he's... Oh, fuck, who is he in Cars?
Chick Hicks.
Chick, yeah, he's like the mean... He's the mean car with a mustache.
The rival.
Yeah, he's the green car. I've seen Cars, believe it or not, several times. Yeah, like, it's just a really fun... the reason I was really Googling this was I was listening to it, and I wasn't sure whether it was in a major or minor key, which, like, I was a music major, so I should be able to know that right away by listening to something, and, like, in hindsight, it's definitely minor.
But the official sheet music from Warner says it's major.
Are you sure it's not a relative minor of C major, which is... C see.
Is it F minor?
Oh, I'm not trusting my own.
No. Is it? I don't know my circle of fifths well enough anymore.
Me neither. A minor.
A minor.
Could be A minor. It's a good soundtrack. You should listen to it. And yeah, Gina Davis acts her ass off in Beetlejuice, and it's a good movie. Oh, and also, shit, what is her name? Catherine. Who's the mom from Home Alone? Catherine O'Hara?
Wait, Catherine O'Hara is Moira Rose.
She's the mom in Beetlejuice, right?
I don't know.
I think it is. This is all bad. I'm sorry I put this on
here. It is Catherine O'Hara, yes.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. The music's very good.
Catherine O'Hara, yeah.
If it's the mom from Home Alone, it is that is who's in Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is scary. Look at him. He's got like these like black sunken eyes and this green hair, and like he looks like he's decomposing. I don't know what this movie is about. What is Beetlejuice about?
I don't know. I haven't seen it in probably a decade.
It really is about two nice ghosts that get bullied by an unfriendly ghost. Do you know the thing?
I'm going to take your word for that. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I remember a single beat from that movie.
Oh, well, I mean, I could take it.
I haven't seen it in a decade.
I don't think I have either, but I can still take you through. Basically, two people die in a car. This cute couple dies, Alec Baldwin and Gina. Fuck, I'm going to do it again. Gina Davis. They die. They live in a house. They move out. Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis die in a car crash. Someone moves into their house after they die, including a young Winona Ryder. And they try to like haunt her, and to get some help with the haunting, they like figure out that there's this guy named Beetlejuice who's a mean ghost. And he's like their haunting coach. But then Beetlejuice kind of turns into an asshole. And he tries to marry the young Winona Ryder.
Is it a musical?
Yeah, there's a Beetlejuice musical.
Why?
I found that out in my 10 minutes of cursory research for this.
Why?
I don't know.
Who asked for that?
Why is there a Spider-Man musical?
Music by Eddie Perfect. That's a fucking name.
Oof, put that on your list for next week. Anyway, this whole time I should have been looking for transitions, and instead I was just worried about defending why I like Beetlejuice as a movie. So anyway,
I can't believe that I had the opportunity to change my name, and I could have gone for something on the level, like the coolness and like ostentatious level of Eddie Perfect, and I didn't.
You could have been, oh boy, no, it's not coming to me.
Emily Imperfect.
Emily Imperfect. That's a little self-deprecating, but I kind of dig it. So Beetlejuice, not the best dental hygiene, and yet for some reason you Googled, there's always time for dental hygiene, comma, Beetlejuice.
So I guess we're just going with themes at this point. Happy happy fall, happy spooky season, happy whatever the fuck this is. I watched for the first time this week Little Shop of Horrors.
Let's get into it.
And there is a scene where Steve Martin, who plays an evil sadistic dentist, is aggressively...
I don't mean to correct you. Steve Martin's not the dentist, is he? Oh, no, Steve Martin is the dentist.
Oh, he is.
Fuck, sorry. Bill Murray is the patient. Sorry.
So Steve Martin is this evil, sadistic dentist, and he is talking to a patient or somebody had walked in and was being... Oh, no, the protagonist of the movie had walked in, Rick Moranis, not because he needed dental care, but for other plot-related reasons. And Steve Martin, like, corners him and goes, there's always time for dental hygiene. And it starts this like huge, like horror-y, terror-y scene where, you know, he just like leans into all the cliched stereotypical fears of dentists being monsters who love to inflict pain on people. And it's really funny.
I, for one, would never paint all dentists with a broad brush like that.
No. But I wouldn't call that broad. I'd call that pretty narrow.
Okay. I would never paint all dentists with a narrow brush like that, even though many dentists have terrorized me in the past.
I don't know what a narrow brush means. I made that up because I just wanted to be contradictory, and I apologize.
I think, like, all right, broad brush would be like, all dentists do this, and a narrow brush would be like, this dentist does that.
Well, in that case, it was a broad brush.
Yeah.
I apologize.
This is one mean dentist. I've had really nice dentists who have been like, I understand you have anxiety about going to the dentist. I'm going to be nice to you. I've honestly never had a dentist who was like, oh, so you're scared of me? I will inflict this power over you to just make you even more terrified.
I really liked Little Shop of Horrors, and I would recommend it, but man, is that movie a relic of its time.
I haven't seen it in a really... I know the basics, but it's been, again... like you with Beetlejuice, it's probably been a decade.
Yeah.
At least since I've seen this.
So there is a song in the movie where at one point one character heroically sings to like the female lead about how she doesn't need to be a slut anymore because he's there. And it's like supposed to be this big heroic moment where the audience is on his side. And I just watched that and I went, I don't know if you could even sell this today to an audience. Like, it's not good. Like, that beat does not work for me. It's very much of its time. And it was, yeah, it was really something. That took me aback.
So when we were kind of talking about this, one thing I never put together before talking, when you were watching this, you said the main female lead, Audrey, is slut-shamed. I was like, wait, the plant is Audrey. And then I went back and did my own little mini Google. The plant is Audrey too.
Yes.
I never picked up on the fact that he names the plant after the woman he's in love with. And that's fucking weird.
It's a pretty explicit beat in the movie. Like, it's called out multiple times.
I think I was... Okay, when I said it's been 10 years, it's probably been closer to 15. I don't know. Possibly more than that. I may have been a child the last time I saw this movie.
It's a good movie. I recommend it. It holds up. The songs are great. The performances are incredible. Bill Murray plays a, like, would you call him a masochist?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, he plays like this masochistic little shithead, and he's very good at that. It was just a delight. John Candy is in it somehow.
Yeah, it's like all of SNL from like 1975 to 1982 is in this movie, pretty much.
Yeah, so just great choices all around.
And this, like, absolutely was part of what fucked me up in terms of going to the dentist as an adult. Yeah, that. But it is a credit to Bill Murray for like being somebody who is really enjoying the pain that's being inflicted on him as a dental patient. Man, it sucks. As somebody who doesn't like the dentist, it sucks so much.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember the shot, but there is a shot where they like constructed a giant mouth so that they could shoot from inside it.
I do remember that. Yeah. And you can like see the drill coming in. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I remember that.
And it's just like Steve Martin at his like full evilness.
Yeah, he's got this like fucked up smile on his face. Yeah. I remember all that.
Yeah.
I turned out totally normal, so it's probably nothing to look into.
I don't know. I saw this movie and it was like fireworks. Much like TNT Amusements, really. Oh,
God damn. I'm going to stop being surprised. Like, it's not a bit anymore. Like, I am surprised every time you do a good transition, but I'm going to stop pretending. Like, I'm not pretending. I'm going to stop overselling how surprised I am. It's just very good. You're good at it, and that's all. TNT Amusements is a place I grew up going to as a child. They are...
So, wait, I just want to check and verify. You aren't talking about TNT Amusements, the fireworks company that sells sparklers at Walmart? Fuck.
Did I just ruin something?
See, my entire transition was based around my understanding that TNT Amusements is a fireworks company.
Well, I mean, it's like based around the idea that like, I think it still works.
Mm.
Okay. TNT Amusements is a business that sells Grip It and Rip It.
That's the sound of Belle V Sparkling Water Passion Fruit, sold exclusively by Aldi.
All glory to the canned one, blessed be she, of the tabbed top variety that we might grip and rip in her honor.
TNT Amusements.
Amen. Yeah, so this is a place I grew up going to as a kid. They sell physical pinball machines and arcade machines, and you could have your birthday party there. If you lived in the like greater Philadelphia area, you would just like show up and they would put everything on free play. And it was like their showroom kind of, but like for a birthday party for a kid, you know, you go there, you eat pizza, and they turn all the machines on free play. And I was thinking about pinball and pinball machines, which is like something that I really enjoyed as a kid. And now that I live here again, it just like occurred to me that like TNT is is it still a place? So to answer that, yes, they still exist. Their website does look the same as it did probably when I moved away in like 1998. And the owner makes these like weird ass YouTube videos that are very long, that are not edited at all, but they're so fascinating. And they're like him putting together arcade machines, pinball machines, like big cabinet machines. And it's like, I had this like visceral memory once I started Googling TNT Amusements, when I found the YouTube channel and one of their playlists is called Old Infomercials.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like, this is a local business. It's in Southampton, Pennsylvania, which is, I don't know, but like 30, 40 minutes from like downtown Philly. But they must have bought ad airtime in like a 20, 30 mile radius of Southampton. And I remember like Saturday mornings watching these infomercials of this guy who turns out is like the owner of TNT, like giving tours of the showroom, the shop where they like repair games. And it was like this huge nostalgia wave and also like very creepy vibes of like, I want to say like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Just because of like, you know, the episode, right? Like he gets stuck in a pinball machine.
No, I've never seen Are You Afraid of the Dark?
What do you mean? Why did you say, oh?
Like I'm kind of aware of the concept.
You should have seen Are You Afraid of the Dark? You're the right age.
Probably. But see, you forget, and this has come up before. I was a very conservative homeschooler in a family that did not have cable.
Oh, man. We could do a whole episode on pop culture references that you wouldn't get.
Oh, there's so many. I've probably only ever seen one episode of SpongeBob.
Well, same, but that for me was probably because I was the wrong age demographic.
Mm.
Anyway, TNT Amusements. I don't know why. I was just like thinking about how much I like pinball and like, could I just like go there if I wanted to? And I think the answer is pretty much yes.
Nice.
They still sell pinball machines. Like I'm not at the point in my life where I would ever buy a physical pinball machine. But yeah, like this guy's super weird. Like you should go look at the YouTube channel. He really likes being on camera. Like that's the best way I can describe it. And if one day I wanted to, you know, stay up all night drinking Mountain Dew, playing pinball, maybe I would Google Mountain Dew Discord.
Well, if you Googled Mountain Dew Discord, what you would find is a community called the Dew Drinkers Discord. And it's really something. Are you familiar with the Dew Drinkers Discord, Jason?
Why would I be?
Why would you be? Honestly, I shouldn't be either.
How did you come to be aware that such a thing even existed?
I don't remember. I heard tale of it a while back. And I wanted to verify whether Mountain Dew Zero Sugar was being phased out or if it was more of a permanent product, because I really like it, but it's getting harder and harder to find the 24-pack cubes locally.
So you are, to clarify, you are currently doing the Dew?
I mean, on a regular basis. Not currently. It is, in fact, 8:43 p.m., and I have sleep issues.
One would not do the Dew past 5 p.m. in a civilized house.
3 p.m.
3 p.m., oh, fuck.
I say again, I have sleep issues.
So to understand this right, there's people who gather online to talk about Mountain Dew?
Oh, they do not just talk about Mountain Dew. They collect Mountain Dew. They sell Mountain Dew. They trade Mountain Dew. They have insider information about upcoming Mountain Dews. They are honestly, in the purest, most endearing sense, fanboys for Mountain Dew.
They're deep within the Dewverse.
Oh, yeah.
They've drank the Dew and they want more.
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking at the server and there are probably 500 some people in here. It's pretty active. I can't keep up with the main channels. It moves way too fast for that.
What would happen, do you think, right now if you just went and did a big post in all caps and just said, fuck Mountain Dew, long live Mr. Pibb? Like, how fast would you get banned? How fast?
I wouldn't do that. But okay, so I'm in here and I just clicked into the Dew Experiences channel where the first thing that I see just right now, not looking for anything in particular, is a very staged photo of four cans of Dew Maui Burst lined up in front of a TV with Borderlands 3 in the background and a PS4 controller laid out nicely in the foreground and a plant. Like, it looks like a marketing image that somebody had just shared of four cans of Maui Burst.
They love that too.
And then I scroll up just a little bit, and there was a whole discussion about Mountain Lightning, which is Walmart's store brand, and the various varieties of that. Did you know that there have been five varieties of Mountain Lightning? I bet you didn't know that.
I can tell you, Mountain Dew hasn't crossed my brain. The only time I think about Mountain Dew is like, if I ever see someone drinking it, I'm like, why? Don't drink that. There's so many better things to drink. If you want caffeine, you drink coffee. If you want soda, drink a different soda that tastes good. Not like Mountain Dew. And then like it kind of feels a little bit like the Doritos. Like Doritos got Cool Ranch, right?
Did you know that there was a Mountain Dew flavor of Doritos?
No. Why would I know this?
This is what I'm saying here. I didn't either, but I do now.
But are you better for it?
I mean, am I better for knowing that $28.95 for a 12-pack of Livewire in the cans is considered a good deal right now?
Wait, what is that per unit? $28.95 for 12 cans. These are 12-ounce cans?
Yeah.
Of Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Mountain Dew Livewire.
All right, hold on. We need some math up in here. Look, can we call it 29?
Sure.
Oh, no. Oh, my calculator. Oh, no. 29 divided by 12. That's $2.50 per mm-hmm. can of Dew.
Yep. But you see, they're not making Livewire in the cans right now. Like, it's really hard to find. If you want Mountain Dew Livewire in the cans, especially in the 12 packs, it's just really hard to find.
What makes the 12 pack better than any other pack?
If you're a collector and you don't have the 12 pack.
What do you mean a collector? It's soda. You don't collect it. You drink it when you're thirsty.
I would say that everybody in the channel Dew Collectors would argue with you.
Okay. All right. So we're at the next echelon. And that is coming to terms with the idea that there's people who collect Mountain Dew.
There will always be collectors of anything. Snack foods, especially. People love to collect that shit.
It's Mountain Dew. It's Mountain Dew.
People love to collect shit.
I'm feeling very, like, I want to yell, you don't kiss Papa John. I have those feelings. I think I finally understand what he meant when he was saying, you don't kiss Papa John before you kiss your wife. You don't collect Mountain Dew. It's soda. It's not good soda. It's not good.
I disagree.
It's not good.
When was the last time? When was the last time you sat down and you cracked open an ice cold Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zero?
Never years ago. I've never had anything other than original Mountain Dew.
See, this is the fucking problem.
But the
okay.
If I don't,
this is the problem.
If I don't like real regular Mountain Dew, why would I like? Why would I like Doritos inspired? Why would I like anything else that's Dew based? The Dewiverse.
I don't know what to tell you. I feel like this community might not be for you.
I would like an invite, and I would like to see how quickly I can get banned from this community.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because they can see who generates invites.
Hold on. Let's see.
And I would like to keep my insider information as to, for example, I want to know when the next Mountain Dew Zero Sugar flavor comes out. Did you know that it's in January?
What? Again, we've established I would not.
See, this is what I'm saying. I need this information. You do not. I am not going to invite you just so you can get banned just to make me look bad.
Okay, well, I'm already in.
Wait, did you join?
I'm close. Hold on. I just got to get my password manager up and let's do a quick little...
Did I mention that they know about the podcast?
Why would they know about the podcast? Unless you told them. Hmm? At 2?
I told them what?
That it exists.
That what exists? What's wrong with knowing that the podcast exists?
I'm going there and they get myself banned. They're going to be upset. The Dew Drinkers of America. Let's see. Here we go.
If you invite someone that ends up being a complete douche, action will be taken. Please be careful.
Well, you didn't invite me, so it's fine.
I guess. I don't like this.
Dew Drinker, continue. Let's see. I just want to see. I have to see with my own eyes. Now, I'm not going to do anything.
Well, you're going to get gated by, you have to introduce yourself and select roles, and a moderator has to approve you. But there are moderators online right now.
Man, this is just way, way more. I don't know why this is taking me longer than 3 seconds to figure out how to, like, get in, but I'm not in yet. All right, You win. You win, Mountain Dew Discord. I will not infiltrate you and espouse my love for Mr. Pibb. I found the Twitter account.
There's a Twitter account?
Yeah. Do you drink your Discord Twitter? Is there a crab with a hat on it with a Maryland flag on?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I found it.
Just a second. Is it Discord Do or Do Discord?
I don't know. I just have a short link. D, capital V, capital F, 6ZZF. No text channel.
Okay, whatever.
Add a server. Let me in. I just want to get in.
God, we have completely unlearned how to do a good podcast.
It's okay, because I just went in. I just went in at this point. Log me in. Open.
So they also have channels for like snack foods and shit. Like they have non-Mountain Dew channels. There's one for soda and munchies. Let's just go in there and see. The first thing I see is Pringles Mini Sour Cream and Onion in small bags. Well, that's new. That's fun. But you would also probably have candy. And so if you could tell me about Crown of Candy Wiki.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm ready for this. We've transitioned out so that Emily can prevent me from joining the Mountain Dew Discord and getting her banned. Crown of Candy Wiki. So are you familiar with like actual play? Oh, wait. I just looked at my other screen. Join Dew Drinkers Discord. Yeah, I'll just give that a old clicky wiki. Here we go. I'll just look around for now. Yeah, here we go. Yep, I'm in. I'm in, baby. Crown of Candy is a show from Dimension 20. Oh boy, are you in for it? Because people are messaging me saying, hi, what's up? I'm the bro crab and I'm here to talk about Mountain Dew. Oh, all right. Good luck cutting around this. Crown of Candy is a show from Dimension 20, which is like an offshoot of College Humor, where this dungeon master, Brendan Lee Mulligan, made this really, really very good D&D actual play show. The first one I was introduced to was called Fantasy High, which is like a D&D show set in a high school. And I quickly burned through that. And then there was another one called Tiny Heist, which was featuring the McElroy family, Justin Griffin, Travis, and Father McElroy. Oh, why is his name eluding me?
Clint.
They all play in a D&D game set in where they are all like toys in the backyard of this child who is kind of like...
Wait, what is this called again?
Tiny Heist.
I'm just going to bookmark that. How long is it?
I would say it's probably like 12 episodes, and each episode is probably like 90 minutes-ish long, maybe 2 hours.
Holy shit.
It's a lot. It's like it's a lot of D&D if you're not like up for that.
But are the McElroys there for the whole season?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to watch it all.
You should. The only issue is like you have to subscribe to...
Dropout?
Dropout TV. Yep. It's like $5 a month, but well worth it. It's a really... He's...
7-day free trial.
Yeah, do it. You could definitely watch Tiny Heist in 7 days. But the thing is, you're going to get hooked on Crown of Candy, which is what I'm watching now. So Crown of Candy is... Should I back up and should I talk about like D&D actual play as like a...
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like if you know what the Adventure Zone is, you kind of get it, right?
Yeah, it's like people play D&D and they make media out of it. Crown of Candy kind of suckers you in because... The premise is so like a saccharine is like a funny word to use here because it means like literally sweet. It's about pieces of candy and like cake and sweet things that are like sentient and talk to each other. But it exists in like you very quickly realize like, oh, this is like Game of Thrones. And the like world that is created is quickly one that expands from like, oh, there are these like candy characters, you know, the king is like a piece of like rock candy and his children are the princesses who are pieces of licorice and his wife is caramel. And it zooms out from that a little bit really quickly to like this world filled with like sentient food. So you've got like the candy kingdom, you've got the bread kingdom, you've got the vegetarians who are like the keepers of the church. There's fruit. There, like every kind of food kind of has its own. Oh, the dairy islands are very funny. They're like kind of based on the iron islands of Game of Thrones. But it very quickly zooms out and you're like, oh shit, this guy's like built this entire world where like you forget. You're listening to this like very dramatic podcast where like serious things are happening, you know, characters die. There's like a lot of backstabbing. And then you like remember like, oh, this is like a chocolate bunny who's being betrayed by a piece of cake, like a sentient piece of cake who is dead set on getting his revenge, or like a carrot who is like one of the main villains, and like the other player characters are talking about like, I'm gonna fucking kill that carrot, like I'm so mad at that carrot. And it's very silly in that way, where it's like it's grounded in this world of like big fantasy, but then you kind of have to remember that like, oh no, like if I was actually watching like a TV show of this, like it'd be a carrot killing a piece of candy, and that's kind of dumb. But yeah, it's very good, and I've been enjoying it. I'm like 12 episodes in, and they're like 2 hour long episodes, so 24 hours in for this one season. But yeah, it's good as hell. Highly recommend. And so I googled the wiki because it's hard to keep track of like NPCs in
that's always been my problem with like improvised shows or story driven shows, where they're kind of not structured super well. My problem has always been they barely know how to keep their characters straight. How the fuck am I supposed to keep the characters straight?
Yeah, it's a little tough, but I would say Brendan Lee Mulligan is one of the better DMs at like making sure that there's never a scene where there's more than like two NPCs at a time. So like you're never hearing a DM talk about using two different character voices at a time, and it also helps that it's filmed visually. And one thing I left out, like
I was gonna ask, do you just listen to them or do you also watch them?
No, I watch them, and I feel bad. The best thing that I left out is that they build these like elaborate miniature sets for their combat scenes that are like, I don't know, like 8 feet by 5 feet, maybe, like big dining room table sized.
Yeah, I'm on the Dropout TV page, and I'm seeing like the preview image for Ambush on the Sucrose Road.
Yeah.
Just has like these beautiful trees that are built up, and it looks like a little cabin. And
yeah, and there's
it like, looks very elaborate.
It's very elaborate, and there's so much attention to detail in like, you hear things where they talk about like, okay, so like, can I spoil like a little tiny bit of this?
Or I mean, sure, why not?
It probably will not spoil much, but I will say one of my favorite like attention to detail things that they do is like how characters who are like part one kingdom and part another kingdom, like how that reveal happens. So like you find out that a character who you think is like loyal to the candy kingdom, who is a piece of cake, is actually loyal to like the bread kingdom. At some point you're like, oh shit, yeah, like cake is part bread. So like it makes sense that this character might have dual allegiances, because cake isn't just like candy. It's like, you know, cake is gluten, and like it's kind of bready. And like the decisions that happen on that level of like who to make what kind of character archetype is awesome.
Okay. I kind of see where there's like a lot of potential in here for it to be a really fun space to play in.
It is. And like, it's so world buildy and great. And like the actors that play the characters are all so funny and like so committed to their characters that it's just very endearing. And it's like, it's just so easy to like buy in to these people and the little candy folks that they play.
I like it.
If you watch enough of this, you might think that's a lot of sugar. And before I read off the next search, am I about to eat shit?
Well,
just yes or no, will I eat shit? Do we play the stinger that will exist eventually? It's time to eat shit. Oh my god. I'm so happy right now. I hate it, but I love it so much.
It is, in fact, time to eat shit. You see, in a New York Times article titled, "Is There Such a Thing as a Sugar High?" there are a couple of paragraphs I feel I should read on air.
Go ahead, I'm ready. The table is set, the flatware is out, I'm ready to eat shit. Bring it on.
An extraordinarily rigorous study settled the question in 1994. Writing in the New England Journal of Medicine, a group of scientists tested normal preschoolers and children whose parents described them as being sensitive to sugar. Neither the parents, the children, nor the research staff knew which of the children were getting sugary foods and which were getting a diet sweetened with aspartame or other artificial sweeteners. Urine was tested to verify compliance with the diets. 9 different measures of cognitive and behavioral performance were assessed, with measurements taken at 5-second intervals. The study concluded that sugar does not affect children's behavior or cognitive function. An editorial that accompanied the study put a fine point on that conclusion, stating, "There is no evidence that sugar alone can turn a child with normal attention into a hyperactive child." 1 year later, an analysis that gathered data from all published studies on the subject reached the same conclusion.
All right, well, yum yum, give me some. Just load my plate full of shit. I guess it's time for me to belly up and eat some shit. Is that, how is that real?
I mean,
it's time to eat shit. All right, thank you, past me. It's time to eat shit. I get it. I'm eating this shit.
Oh, I love that so much.
It's time to eat shit. Whoever came up with the idea of making that a regular segment is so stupid, and I hate them so much.
I can't imagine why anyone would suggest that.
Why would anybody...
Much less say that we need a jingle for it.
Why would anybody say...
Much less sing the fucking jingle.
Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody be so short-sighted as to say this will only affect other people and not me? As the person needing to eat shit. All right, I'm here. I'm ready to eat shit. I'm eating shit. I'm wrong.
The only person I can think of who would be so bold as to think that would never apply to them would be like a Steel Battalion controller.
That's not your best.
Which I'm assuming that a Steel Battalion controller isn't actually a person, but like a peripheral for like a PS4 or something.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for bailing me out, because I was ready to just sit here being... stewing in my wrongness for another 10 minutes.
Do you want to know how long I spent on that jingle?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, probably the better part of 45 minutes.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought. You could have just like texted Yuri and been like, do this, but make it cool and make Jason sound like more of an asshole than he already is.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 7 tracks on that.
Wow. You like did a real, that's a real... real podcast job. Oh boy. Okay. I'm excited to talk about Steel Battalion controllers. Steel Battalion was an Xbox game that came out on the original Xbox that was like the most ambitious, I would say.
Is this the one? Because I remember there was a game at one point that had like the most expensive peripheral that had ever been manufactured for a video game.
Yes, you are thinking of the correct thing.
Okay, I know nothing about it.
Yeah, so this game came out. It had a controller. I believe the original game and controller came in at around... I worked at GameStop at the time, I should know this. Around $150?
There's no way! There's no way GameStop actually carried this.
Oh yeah, I worked at GameStop when I was in high school and in college. Yeah. It was, I sold this. You could actually.
You had it in stock.
Yeah.
And people bought it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't remember ever selling one, but I remember like seeing it on the shelf and I knew we had it in the back.
Huh.
The total cost was $200.
Okay.
The Xbox itself, I don't think cost more than $300. I think it was around $300 for an Xbox. This was a game where you piloted like a mech, so like a big robot machine that was bipedal, and it came with this controller that not only had 2 joysticks, but like a throttle that you could like push from like neutral to 5th gear, 3 pedals, like a gas, a brake, and like, I don't know, a wacky hijinks pedal that you could push, and I'm sure some insane thing happened.
Why would you push any other pedal?
The wacky hijinks pedal had to be the best pedal. It had a dial.
You know, it's funny that for a game with bipedal robots, you have 3 pedals.
I'm just going to let you sit in that one for a second.
Am I a bad person?
No, that's a good joke. You did a good joke about the stupid game that cost too much money. Yeah, and it had a dial. It had probably another dozen buttons. And then the most tantalizing button, which is the one with the stick shield that you have to like flip up so you don't press it accidentally. That was the eject button. So like if you're playing this game and like your mech is about to go down, you could flip the plastic cover and like mash eject, and you would like respawn faster if you ejected before you like burned to death inside your big mech robot. And then a bunch of toggle switches, like some of which were like windshield wipers. But my God, this thing was fucking enormous. I was lucky enough to be able to go to a video game conference probably like 7 or 8 years ago, where they had a room full of them and you could play them networked together. Like physically, the Xboxes were like networked into a hub. I don't know what you would call that, like a LAN, I guess. And so like I played Steel Battalion with 12 other or 11 other people in a room. And like, it's not that fun. It is cool to pilot the mech with these big controllers. And like, it was all total novelty. But the reason I searched for it this week is I saw a tweet that referenced the fact that somebody has just come out with basically a driver that would let you connect this controller to a Windows. And so you could like theoretically write software that would interact with this dumb fucking thing. And the first like test case they did was like a backhoe simulation where you could like use a backhoe using this like $200 controller. But yeah, like I was just thinking about it and how much I loved like the ambition of, yeah, to put
the ambition is incredible. Like I don't think there's any debating that. The ambition is great.
It's a $200 controller for a video game on a system that costs $300. And the game is not that good. Like, that really is what it comes down to. Is like, I am probably one of not that many people that can say they played this game. Yeah, the game itself, not that fun. Of course, there is a thriving community of idiots and nerds who are, like, still trying to figure out how to play this game competitively. But it ain't good.
So, of course, I am the exact type of person who, as you are talking, is going to be doing some Googling. And I have learned a couple of things that I feel like need to be brought up now. Did you know that there was a sequel to Steel Battalion? It used the same controller, and it received slightly worse reviews than the first one.
How is that possible? You have the controller's the hardest part!
Did you know there was another sequel that was controlled using Xbox Kinect?
Oh, no. So you like...
And it bombed so fucking hard.
It's like you're waving your arms and legs around like an idiot when there's this perfectly good $200 piece of plastic in front of you that you could be using.
Metacritic shows it at 38 out of 100, with most game reviewers giving it like 3 to 5 stars. Polygon gave it 1 out of 10.
That's no good, that's no good, boss.
And then the other thing, as you were talking, that I couldn't help myself but to do was, have you looked for the controller on eBay yet?
I think I did. How much is it going for?
3 of them sold yesterday.
Can I guess?
One. Oh, yeah, please guess.
All right. I'll say $250 for one.
Okay. So the 3 that sold yesterday, I'm just going to list off all of their prices, and I'm going to include shipping because you do know how eBay can be. They do love to sneak in shipping. So the first one I'm seeing looks like it's the full thing and it works. Pre-owned, $376 after 13 bids. With $48.09 shipping.
Jesus, it's $400.
The second one I see that sold, $449 with free shipping. Buy it now. The third one I see, also buy it now, $320 with $101.85 shipping.
People are so fucking stupid. They don't understand that, like, they're just shipping. Shipping isn't that expensive. What the fuck?
So you are not getting this game? You're not getting this controller for under about $375, probably not under $400.
And then you have to have an old Xbox that works and have the disc?
Well, no. Not if your whole goal is to hook it up to a PC.
Oh, that's true.
See, this is the Guitar Hero problem. So I got really into Clone Hero recently. And with that, I realized I needed to buy a Guitar Hero controller to hook up to my PC. Now, there are a few Guitar Hero controllers throughout the entire franchise that are considered to be a head and shoulders above the rest. The ones that just perform better have the lowest latency, have the most consistent strums, have the most consistent button presses, least likely to fail. And so these controllers, suddenly there's been a run on them. People love them. And you use them to play Clone Hero on PC, as well as there's an upcoming game that also uses the guitar controllers that's coming out on Steam soon called Mariachi Undead, where it's like a side-scrolling action game where you play little guitar sections to activate power-ups.
I'm ready to be upset based on the amount of Guitar Hero controllers I've thrown out in my life to hear how much they're actually going for.
The good ones still go for about $60, which isn't too bad. It's an investment. Yeah. Like, it's like paying for a new game again, which is fine. So I did buy the... It's either the considered the best on the market or the second best on the market. But it is the white Les Paul style controller for the Wii.
Interesting.
Specifically, the one for the Wii is really well liked. But you do need a Wiimote, which I did not have anymore. So I had to go buy a Wiimote as well, which was another $20.
Shit, I'm sure I owned one of these at some point.
So I can play Clone Hero now, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. There is a very active community. There's a whole Discord with like people who are verified as being people who make good charts. And probably a dozen new songs get mapped every week just from verified sources. Unverified sources, you could get, you know, unlimited amounts.
I definitely threw away 10 of these a month as a GameStop employee because we just like would get so many of them and we could not sell a single one.
So here's what I recommend to you. Go on YouTube and look up, I think his name is, I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's Acai, A-C-A-I. Look up Acai Soulless and just click on one of those videos and watch him play because he is playing without any hacks, without any cheats. He's just a very, very good streamer who plays Clone Hero on stream all the time. And he's just very, very good at it.
I'm a little worried.
And you will watch it, and it will break your brain.
I was deep into Guitar Hero at one point, but I'm a little worried what I'm going to find is that Acai is going to be one of my college roommates who got so deep into Guitar Hero that he almost had to drop out of college because all he did was play Guitar Hero and post on a Guitar Hero message board about how good of a score you got. Nope, not him. Okay, we're good.
Okay, good. I think you can watch Soulless 5. And start 3 minutes into the video. I'll send you the link.
Soulless 5 SC? FC? I know what FC means because of my roommate who, again, almost did not graduate college because of how much he liked Guitar Hero. FC is full complete, right?
Full combo.
Full combo. Shit.
Oh, yeah, it's really something you just have. You have to watch it because it is. Oh, it's incredible.
I can't get into this because I've been a person who is like really deep. I've always liked music and rhythm games. Like I played the first Amplitude for PlayStation 2 when it came out, and like rhythm games just like didn't exist then. And that led me to Frequency, which is another PS2 game. And like Parappa the Rappa was like, I guess, a PS1 game. But yeah, like I could do some like expert Guitar Hero 2.
Did you ever play DJ Hero?
No. Oh, I always wanted to play DJ Hero.
I bought that one. I bought the stupid fucking expensive controller. That was a really challenging game, but it was a lot of fun.
I would totally get back into this, which is probably why biology directed me towards having children, because if I got back into Guitar Hero again, no woman would ever talk to me.
Did you ever buy any of the DDRs?
I had a DDR mat, but not
a good one.
No, it was like the soft one that you could, if you wanted to, you could like put like a foam core insert in.
Okay.
But no, I was too lazy to be into DDR.
I loved DDR, but I was never willing to like invest the money to get a mat that was good enough that I could ever play anything good.
Now that you mention it, I just realized one thing I did own at one point, and fuck, if I had this has to be worth $1,000 at this point. I had called a finger pad. It was like a DDR dance pad that had a PS1 or PS2 connector at one end, and then at the other end, it was just a little DDR pad that you could hold in your hand. And this is just like shit that I saw as a GameStop employee that I would like buy with my
That's incredible.
Employee discount. Are you fine? Did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fucking ruled. And like you could play DDR and still be a lazy piece of shit and just like play with this little gamepad that you held in your hand.
That's really fucking cool. It looks like people didn't like this specific one, but I love the idea of it.
It's like everything you want about DDR without having to physically move your shitty human body.